Hello, Fritz Bergren, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 15th of December, 2020. Merry Christmas. I have a few things to talk about today. I think the most important thing to think about, other than celebrating the incarnation of God Almighty on earth for Christmas 2020, about 2,020 years after the birth of Christ, give or take 4 years, I think it is. The incarnation of God Almighty in Jesus Christ, clearly something that ought to be celebrated and heralded. Not the holidays, not happy holidays, Merry Christmas, the Mass of Christ. But reflecting more on the world that we've built, we've come to an interesting place in 2020 where the jaws of a truly global and totalitarian system are closing in on us very quickly. They're snapping shut. I've talked to a number of people, and their organizations have said, get the vax. If you don't get the vax, you can't travel. If you don't get the vax, you can't work. If you don't get the vax, we don't know what's going to happen. But get the vax. And we know the vax is safe, even though it hasn't gone through full testing yet. Maybe it's safe. Maybe it's completely safe. Maybe modified RNA injected into our bodies is completely safe. I don't know. I don't know that they know. They say they know. They say they've tested it. And yet they've also said it's dangerous for children to have it, and pregnant mothers and nursing mothers. And everybody knows that sometimes vaccines have consequences that nobody can predict. But get the vax. I've read that vaccines were going to be offered at grocery stores. One wonders, is that going to be required to go shopping to have the vax? Do you have to have proof of a vaccine to buy groceries and eat? How convenient. You just show up to buy your food, and they say, nope, you can't go shopping unless you have the vax. Oh, and by the way, the vax, you can get the vax right here, $20. And if you can't afford it, we'll make it free. And so get your vax. Airlines are starting to come out. I guess they've gotten a word. I can't fly without the vax. They were saying this before the vax even came out. Maybe it's perfectly safe. I don't know. Maybe it's perfectly safe and it's just the smart thing to do. The people that know about the vax, they said, well, we don't know if you're going to get vaccinated every year. Maybe you have to get vaccinated every year. We don't know this. We're not sure that there's no side effects, but we think so, and the FDA has given approval. So get the vax. It's just one more thing, though. It's just one more thing as the traps shut closed on everybody in their lives. You know, it's stunning for me to live through my life. When I grew up, and I was a young man in my 20s and 30s, and was very aware of the politics of the Cold War, very aware of Russia, the totalitarians in Russia. I have a PhD in history. I've studied totalitarian societies. I've studied Cuba under Castro, studied China under Mao, studied Russia under Lenin and Stalin and Brezhnev. Very familiar with the Cuban block watches where you rat out your neighbors. Very familiar with the totalitarian system in the Soviet Union where to get a good job, you have to be a member in good standing of the Communist Party, and if you have an aberrant political thought, you're kicked out of the party and perhaps sent to a relocation camp. I'm becoming aware of some of the writings of Aldous Huxley. I'm very, very familiar with the writings of George Orwell, and they both predict an absolutely totalitarian society, and I think it was Huxley who said, people are going to be in a totalitarian society, and they're going to love it. They're going to be so happy. They won't even know they're in a totalitarian society, and I think that's where we've slipped. We've slipped into that. What are you complaining about? Just get with the program, and everything will be okay. And I've written several articles about that on my blog at bloodandfaith.com, talking about how people are fine living in totalitarian societies. I mean, the totalitarian societies don't run themselves. It's people in those societies that run them. And it's not just the head honcho. It's the people that he surrounds himself with. And then those people surround themselves with people. And all the way down to the lowest person on the totem pole. And they're brainwashed and they're told this is a good thing. the leader's taking care of you. If you just do what you're told, shut up, you're going to have enough food to eat. We're not going to throw you in jail. And it's good. It's a good thing, we are told. Cuba, Russia, China, Pol Pot. Pol Pot had some deplorables. You know that. Cambodia, 1970s, late 1970s. There was deplorables in Cambodia. And Joe Biden talked about the 10 to 15% of Americans that are irredeemable. In Cambodia, it turned out to be 25%. And so they killed them. They took them out of the cities. If you could read and write, if you had glasses, which means you probably needed glasses to read, which meant you could read, they shot you. And they have the fields full of skulls, human skulls. We like to overlook that, pretend it doesn't happen. And, of course, we try to pretend it doesn't happen in modern societies. That's just what those, you know, Africans do to each other or the Asians. But they forget the French Revolution. They forget what happened in France, 1789, 1790, the Reign of Terror. They forget the guillotines. Modern, sophisticated Frenchmen chopping their fellow citizens' heads off, causing the blood to run in the streets. And not being satisfied with that blood, they went out in the countryside into the Vendée area of France, rural area. And they found the deplorables. Deplorables live the same places they've always lived. They live in the countryside. They cling to their guns and religion. You had Catholic Frenchmen in the countryside. And the French revolutionaries decided it wasn't enough to take the city, so they went out and they began killing, mass slaughtering Frenchmen for being Catholic. And part of what the Catholic Church did, they supported the king, and so they killed him. So this isn't just something that only happens in non-European places. You look at the American Civil War. 20% of military-aged men in the United States were put to the bayonet, put to the musket, killed over what arguably could be fairly minor issues of trade. It became a greater issue as the moral imperative to end slavery sort of overtook the mind of the North. And they used that as a moral rallying cry to utterly subjugate and defeat other Americans that lived in the South. Waging atrocities across the board, waging atrocities. Sherman's March to the Sea, tore up railroad tracks, burned cities, burned loot, murder. And so this is nothing new. The rage of humankind against humankind is nothing new, and there's nothing to say that Americans are going to be exempt from this. I certainly think they're not. And so we've built a society where dissonant thought is illegal. And we've created a soft totalitarianism. It's not like in the Soviet Union where somebody's going to round you up in the middle of the night and put you on a train and send you to Siberia without saying goodbye to your wife or your kids, staying there for 20 years. It's a soft totalitarianism. It's like, oh, you have aberrant thoughts. Well, you can't tweet anymore. You can't Facebook anymore. You can't YouTube anymore, maybe. Maybe you can't run a business. Maybe your credit cards aren't renewed. You can't have a credit card to buy food for yourself. Maybe you're a college professor, and all of a sudden you're notified that you're racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic, and you must leave the academy because you have aberrant political thoughts. And you're like, why would I want to leave the academy? I like my job. I get paid. Not a lot, but I get paid. So you tone down what you say, and you get with the program, and at best, you keep your mouth shut. At the most, you start seeing the light and speaking up and supporting what they do. Recently, the last couple of years, there's been a number of deans and presidents and professors who aren't guilty of anything that you and I could consider hating people. they simply failed to get with the program and they lost their jobs, failed to speak up sufficiently to support the program of this sort of social justice warrior class. And we've gone and we've created a society where aberrant thought will be punished in a soft way. It's too much money to support prisons. So we disinvite you to work for us. We disinvite you from going to school here. We disinvite you from participating in the political discussions of the country on Facebook. And this is why people are terrified. People are terrified. People are terrified of having an opinion that is aberrant, that goes against the grain, that's dissonant, it's dissonant thought. And this is why people spend a lot of time talking about silly stuff on Facebook, having jokes or cute things or cat memes or dog memes or whatever the case is. It's meaningless stuff because they don't want to offend somebody and they don't want to get on somebody else's radar. Back in about 1973, Richard Nixon decided that he was going to go to war on drugs. Remember that, war on drugs? A lot of you probably weren't born back then. And part of the way you go to have a war on drugs is you say, well, you know, we know the drug dealers use large cash transactions. And so they said back in 1973, any transaction over $10,000 has to be reported to the federal government. Now, in 1973, there was places in America you could buy a house with $10,000 cash. A house, an entire house to raise your family and live in. Certainly any new car, brand new car you could buy for cash. You could spend 4 years in college on $10,000 cash. You could do a lot of stuff with $10,000 cash. But that was half a century ago. And $10,000 cash gets you a very old used car, one that you probably wish you had a better job to afford a newer car. What do you do with $10,000? How far does $10,000 go these days? You can't put a down payment on a house with $10,000. So cash slowly becomes illegal. And then, of course, it wasn't just the $10,000. It was like any series of transactions involving cash that could add up to $10,000 is now illegal. It must be reported to the central government. And we have TSA signs every time we go to the airport. We're inundated with these signs of see something, say something. See something, say something. Report it to the authorities. If you are in Britain, apparently in Britain right now, they are putting up signs in the public areas encouraging their citizens. I don't know what a British citizen is anymore. I don't know what a Brit is. What's a Brit? I don't know what it is anymore. Encouraging people to turn in other people who may be exposed to hateful ideas or hateful thoughts or have books that have hate in them. And we've built this world. We've created this world. We made this world. We allowed it to happen. I can't tell you how many times I have people tell me, you can't say that, Fritz, you can't say that, you can't say that, you can't say that. And I guess I'm kind of done with that. And I think I've probably told you my story before, but at some point I simply realized that there is no point at which you will be compliant enough to satisfy them. Even now, it's not enough to be silent and not be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, whatever. Now you're forced with the threat of violence to stand up and actively promote a political agenda that you may not want to promote. The evidence is the diners in Washington, D.C. They're minding their own business, trying to eat dinner, and the Antifa BLM folks come in and raise a ruckus. Nobody will stand up to them. Nobody will lift a finger to them. They threaten violence. Restaurant won't kick them out. Police aren't going to show up. And they get in some woman's face and try to force her to stand up and raise her fist in support of Black Lives Matter. That's a totalitarian movement. That's what that is. You know, it's funny how they try to point the finger at the Nazis, the Germans in the 1930s and 40s. That's them today. That's the Cultural Revolution of China, where it wasn't enough to stay out of the way, keep your head down. The gray men are gone. There's no more gray men. You need to actively stand up and promote. And the generations were accused or encouraged to rat each other out and betray their own parents. And that's what happened, and a lot of people died that way. And we're building that in this country. We build a system where everything you do is tracked. And if it hasn't been finalized, it's getting finalized. Cash becomes illegal. Stores stop taking cash, even for minor transactions. You can't go on an airplane and buy something with cash anymore. Got to have electronic device, credit card, so they can track you. They know what you bought. They know when you bought it. They know where you bought it. Track your whole life. We spend $1,000 to buy an electronic device, smartphones, or $500 or $300, whatever it is. And your position is triangulated 24/7, 365. They know where you are. They can tell where you are in a matter of feet, inches. That wonderful thing that you call a GPS in there, you open up, say, oh, here I am. That's a two-way device. You can read it. They can read it. It's very apparent to us, anybody that's willing to read, that they, whoever they are, track our private communications. They record it and they track it. Complete and utter control of what you spend, knowledge of where you are, who you associate with, what your ideas are, what you put on social media. And this is, please don't think that this is just private business that is doing this. Who do you think funds the private businesses that are doing that? There's an organization, I think it's InQtel. Google it up, InQtel. And this is like a venture capital fund. And the capital comes from the United States government. And so they invest in companies that can surveil you, me, the world. And they're building a system where there is no privacy. And they're also building a system where all dissent can be instantly crushed. Google, YouTube, Facebook, hard at work at it. Hard at work at it. I have a, oh, which is it? My Facebook account. I still have a Facebook account, and I publish things there. I post things there. But if I post a link to my personal social media, my personal blog that they don't control, it's banned. Just says, boom, you can't post from that site to this site. For whatever reasons, violating terms of agreement or whatever it is. They don't need to give a reason. And, of course, it started with Alex Jones. They decided that we're going to, you know, find somebody that nobody likes and we're going to cast them off these platforms. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and individuals whose ideas are either categorized as suspect, including the President of the United States, or they're simply shadow banned or deplatformed, depersonized. PayPal won't take their money, and on and on and on. So we're building a perfect totalitarian society. They don't care. But you've got certain groups that are going to be the censors of society and shut it down. And that's what you risk. That's what we risk. We have built the society by our silence, by our consent, by our unwillingness to stand up and say that's enough. And you go to the elections, people get upset because you can either buy a sawdust sandwich or you can buy a bird feather sandwich. And we're told, isn't this great to live in democracy? You got a choice, sawdust or bird feathers. Which do you want to eat? You're like, well, I don't like either one. I want something different. Oh, you're one of those. You're an extremist. You're intolerant. You're an extremist. You're a radical. You have aberrant ideas. Well, no, we can't do that. We can't promote hate. I said, and you're saying, no, I'm not promoting hate. I want a tuna sandwich. I don't want bird feathers. I don't want sawdust. I want a tuna sandwich. Oh, no, nope. Oh, can't have that. That's racist, sexist, xenophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Nazi, fascist, hate. And you're like, no, it's just a tuna sandwich. Like, no, it doesn't qualify. So you decide to run for office anyway in your town. There's one newspaper in your town. Newspaper is owned by the same corporation that owns the one newspaper in 100 other towns. And they look at you and they say, oh, you're one of those. Ah, okay. So when they put out a news story on your candidacy, they signal that nobody can support you. Racist ideas. Support from extremists. Sexist. Queerphobic. Intolerant, divisive. Fringing on the anti-Semitic. And boom, there you go, man. It's over. The only people that will associate with you are, by their definition, the haters in the first place, and the big car dealerships that would have supported you to fund your campaign or other businesses. They're not going to give you a dime, because the next day they're going to be in the, they're going to be on the front page of that newspaper. Tom Brown's Ford dealership supports racism. Largest donor to candidate XYZ. Car sales drop off 50% that much. How much is it worth it to him? Kid gets harassed in school. Heard your dad's a racist, your kid gets beat up. That's how it works. It's just control. It's political control. It's moral control, philosophical control, speech control. The guy running for office said, I'm not any of these things. I just want to offer you all a tuna fish sandwich. It's a lot better than feathers or sawdust. Not permitted. So the totalitarian society is pretty much closed. Oh, and if the guy gets through and he's a billionaire and he can actually fund his own campaign and he doesn't need any help from other people, and all the people that want a tuna fish sandwich actually vote for him and he gets into office, he spends 4 years fighting for his own political survival. Can't get anybody to work for him. Tries to hire people on the campaign and they're traitors, turncoats. Runs for re-election. Yeah, okay. How do you fight a system that puts in voting machines that are demonstrably not only hackable, but hacked and had the results manipulated? And the system doesn't care. The courts don't care. Your own political party doesn't care because they don't like you, because they don't want to be associated with somebody that's called racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Nazi, fascist, whatever. And so they want to get you out because they want to get back into the grift. They want to get back into the gravy train. They don't want to raise any red flags with the controllers, the Pharisees. I wrote an article the other day about how the Pharisees had created the perfect totalitarian system back in the time of Jesus Christ amongst the Jews. And they found that the law of God was insufficient. And so they erected their traditions and their precepts. And if a Jew didn't obey those precepts or traditions or whatever the Pharisees decided they needed to do, they were cast out of the synagogue. If you got cast out of the synagogue, that's like you lose your membership in the Communist Party in Russia in the 1960s or 70s. That's like you lose the ability to buy and sell. You are a deep person. You can't even associate with other people. You can't even go visit a friend. It's not like getting kicked out of a church. Don't think that. Churches are irrelevant in America today. You're deep personed, and you're deplatformed. demonetized. You can't associate with anybody. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't rent a place to live in. Nobody's going to work for you, and you can't work for anybody. Absolutely controlled your life. And if that wasn't enough, of course, they would stone you. And that's, of course, the threat of Jesus Christ. That's why they ended up murdering Jesus Christ. But he rose from the dead. The story's not over. But the trend towards totalitarianism seems to be a human trait. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to fight tooth and nail. I told a friend the other day, it's worth writing for. And so I write, not going to stop, blog, video log, whatever you want to call it. We lose because we keep our mouth shut. We lose because we're not willing to open up our mouth and say it's enough. You got to go there. You got to be willing to be called racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, fascist, Nazi. You got to go there. Your children and your grandchildren are being abused in public schools by what they're being taught. They're being destroyed as human beings. They're being destroyed as little boys and little girls. The propagation of the homosexual agenda in public schools is child abuse. It's institutional child abuse. Has to be overturned by whatever any means necessary. All means necessary. You've heard them say, by any means necessary, and they meant it. By any means necessary, they're going to get Trump out of office in 2020, including lying, cheating, and stealing the elections, and that's what they've done. They've just done what they've said they're going to do. All the major media outlets lie, 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 and the social media that we're supposed to contribute to, censors, and they're open about it. So we're going to take down anything that supports Trump, that questions legitimacy of a stolen election. And they're open about it. They say it. Everybody keeps their mouth shut. So we've built this. We've built this by our consent. We've built this by our silence. We've built this by submitting. And we are trained every day to be serfs in the totalitarian order. Wear your mask. Put your mask on. Put your mask on. Oh, okay, I'll put my mask on. What does the mask do? Well, nobody knows. I mean, when this thing started, we were told flat out, masks don't do anything. It can't protect you. Now, oh no, it's required. You got to have it. Okay, I'll get the vax. Oh, still got to wear a mask. When I walk into a store, the place I live, they put a little measuring device and they either read my hand or they read my forehead before I can come in. I've been told, unless you get the vax, you probably won't be able to fly anywhere. Is that the kind of world we want to live in? Is that the kind of world you want for your kids, your grandkids? Freedom's dangerous. Freedom's dangerous. So they want to take the freedom away. Not that they care for you. They don't care for you. It's dangerous to them. Freedom's dangerous for them or their power. So I don't do this for, you know, money, fame, or glory. But I owe a lot to my children and their children. I owe them more than, you know, a couple good meals a day. I owe them my fight for a better world, for a world where they can live in Christian truth and we can preach the gospel and I can raise my children in the fear of God. We're not subjected to child abuse at public schools, where I don't need permission from a bureaucrat to live my life, to buy food at a store, to travel on an airplane, to have an opinion that's different from theirs. But that's the world we've created. You have to have their permission to have a political thought that's different than theirs. If not, government stands by silently as the private companies deplatform you, which were funded with billions of dollars of government taxpayer capital and continuing contracts. Write a book, Amazon might take it, they might decide it's not worth having, so they'll take it down. And the list goes on. And this world has been built with our permission. I'm asking you to withdraw your consent. Withdraw your permission. Speak up, speak out. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com, December 2020.